Good evening, good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are making a big difference in consciousness on our planet during this time of the shift. And tonight we're featuring two of these in one show. These ones are dowsers in preparation for the Santa Cruz Dowsers Conference. The first one, Betty Epstein, dowses along with hypnotherapy, and she witches for water, and oh my, it's all about consciousness. And the second one is Dick Tippett. And Dick works with dowsing and all kinds of things as well, but his main focus is dowsing and business. So stay tuned. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. And as those of you who are listening regularly know, I'm bringing you a wonderful assortment of characters that we call dowsers who are going to represent their trade and their skills and their intuitive relationship with the universe at the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz coming up in July. So today we're talking to Betty Epstein, and Betty has a broad spectrum of ways that you use dowsing. You're a hypnotherapist, right? And you know right. A lot about the Mayan.
I don't know a lot about the Mayans.
Oh, but you have some.
I have opinions.
Oh, good. Well, we have some opinions about the Mayan situation. And I know you were talking at some point about working with someone else about diverting water. So you don't just douse for water, but you're.
No, I douse for everything. I believe that if you can douse and you've refined your skills as a douser, you can actually douse for anything. It's simply, dousing is simply going to the frequency of connecting with all that is and then allowing some part of your body or some instrument to tell you if you're getting a yes or no. I think all answers have to be yes or no. I don't believe in maybe or next week or whatever.
Mm. And how long have you been dowsing, and how did you get going?
Well, it's a long history of dowsing in my family. My grandfather and my great-grandfather were pioneers who went to Kentucky from Virginia in 1830, and they were looking for timber and water, and they found land in south-central Kentucky that had timber, and they sat down for a break, and one of them said, well, let's see if there's water here. And so they broke a limb off a peach tree and started holding it and walking across the land, and they found an underground spring that still furnishes the water for our old farm place, which is now mine. And so that was 100 and some odd years ago, and
wow.
And the water still supplies for plenty of people. And so they homesteaded there, and many, many acres, and now the farm has been sold and bartered, and I have, I think, 120 acres and the original farmhouse.
Wow.
And so that grandfather, whom I was born in that part of the country, and I grew up spending a lot of time at his house, and I watched him douse for people, and he still used the peach tree limb, although it's called witching because the early pioneers believed that you could only douse with a witch hazel limb. And so that's how it got connected to witchcraft.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, okay.
So, although it's not, you know, most of my Wiccan friends don't have a clue how to douse. I had to teach them, right? He would douse for missing wedding bands in the garden, missing people, critters that got out and got stuck in a gully somewhere, and He was amazing. He could find them, everything, with that peach tree limb, just making it go up and down, up and down.
That's because he got into, rapport with the universal consciousness.
Yeah, he got to the point, I guess, early on that he could do it so quickly. But he believed, as his father had, that only men could do it.
Oh, interesting.
And so he had five daughters and one son. The son wasn't interested. He didn't teach the daughters.
Isn't that ironic, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, there's still a lot of superstitions about not dousing if there's a female in the crowd. A lot of those old farmer kind of dousers.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But he didn't teach my mother, but she did know how to do it, and she did it secretly. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me. And then in, it was the early 80s. No, must have been like 83 or, yeah, that's still early 80s. I went to visit my mom in Indianapolis, where she was living at the time, and where I'd actually grown up, and she had married a man who was in the army as a foot soldier in World War II and had been taught to douse with coat hanger, just little, you know, metal L rods by the army in Germany to find landmines. And so I was telling him about my grandpa, and he said, oh, he couldn't do anything you can't do, and he gave me this. He went in the closet, took a couple coat hangers, shaped them into L-rods, put them in my hands, and said, okay, go out there and walk up and down the street and think about sewer lines.
Hmm.
And that was it. I did
wow.
it. They did it. It was amazing. And I couldn't wait to find somebody's well immediately.
Well, tell me this. Were you already a hypnotherapist at that point?
Let's see. Cassie was... I went to my first hypnotherapy training in 86.
Okay. But so I read somewhere that you combine or you use hypnotherapy and dowsing.
Well, you know, it's pretty much all the same thing. It's about getting into the zone.
Uh-huh.
And so if you can let go of everything that's near you, you know, you don't have to close your eyes to do it. Just, I think of dowsing as, you know, old-fashioned radios had a band, right? You could dial it to the end of the band and all you would get was white noise.
Right.
I think of going into the dousing white noise if it's a job that requires my total concentration. And that's how I teach it. I taught it many places. Taught it in Kiev in Ukraine and another little town there called Cherkasy. And I so many places outside the United States. And what was a nice surprise to me was that in the countries where there's no religion interfering with your dowsing, people were already dowsing before I got there.
Great. Oh, wow. And so what do you douse for yourself now? Where to go next to teach?
Well, I douse for things, you know, personal items like, now where did I put that piece of paper? Or should I go on this trip? Or should I teach this class? I douse for personal information for me. And in Dallas, in the city itself, well, until recent years, when we've had so much problem with drought, most of my dowsing jobs in town were for things that people had hidden and couldn't find. Like, women with a lot of nice jewelry tend to hide it before they go on vacation. Instead of taking it to their safety deposit box, they figure, okay, I'm going to put it under the bed or under this or that or in the closet. And they don't write down where they put it, so they come home and can't find it.
Right.
So that's where I come.
And your success rate's pretty good?
Yeah, for that, I have a tremendous success rate. But my real expertise is water.
Really?
And I struggled to get my first well. And I knocked on doors, and I put signs in every 7-Eleven from here to Kentucky saying, let me find your water well for you. And so I really, I'm going to say this, and then I'll get a call and up my record, but we're finding potable water for drinking or for even for crops, I have 100% accuracy.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's, I want, and you probably believe in thought patterns, of course.
Oh, of course, yes.
Well, the only failure, I guess I have to call it that, was I did a dowsing job for, not too far away out in East Texas, and I followed another dowser in on the job, and he had already made a decision, and he put the thought pattern there. So when I came in, I found lignite. I mean, it wasn't water at all, and that's the biggest mistake I've made. And so so that was my biggest mistake, and it was because I didn't clear myself. I didn't clear the space.
You know, or maybe you were touched by someone else's presence there. Sometimes that can pull us this way and that.
Yeah, it was definitely. He had made a decision, and I walked right through it and found it. But, you know, in the American Society of Dowsers, the schools, they teach us that you must always say, can I, may I, should I, before you douse.
Huh. And do you do that?
I hadn't done that.
Uh-huh. No.
And so if I'd said, can I, do I have permission, the answer would have been yes. The next answer would have been, yes, and then should I? I think I would have gotten a no, so I would have had to assess that and figure out why I was getting a no and then go some other direction with it.
But you do you also carry it to other subjects? Or like, for example, you're doing water. Can you do minerals? And
Yeah, I do minerals, but in fact, I just did a dowsing job for gold in Mexico. But I, when somebody calls me for treasure hunting, they never call back. if they find it, they never call back to tell me, yes, I found it. Because, you know, that's kind of a thing that you don't want to talk about because somebody might want you to pay taxes on it.
Right, exactly. And I've heard that it's really difficult to get a good assayer for a similar reason.
Yeah, same thing. And so minerals as far as gas and oil, I haven't had enough calls to say whether I'm good or bad.
What about health?
Health, yes. I'm good at health. I'm good at diagnosing a body, just if the body's present, have the person, I douse the person. I also do a lot of remote dousing. I just did a treasure in some remote place in Mexico that they're tracking, according to a 400-year-old myth, a buried treasure way into the mountains and the brambles, and it's, I said, don't even go there. But, you know, according to my dowsing, it's there. And so they're going.
Wow.
And they paid. So,
but they won't probably tell you what they found, right?
No, I'll probably never hear from them again.
That's too bad. Too bad. You should get them to sign a non-disclosure so that they have a commitment between you that you would not reveal.
I don't think they trust. They just, you know, it's, I don't know why. I've never doubted personally for any treasure or anything of value like that.
Well, actually, I'm an intuitive, and I've been called on those kinds of questions a number of times, and they're always really paranoid or skittish.
Another thing I get a lot of calls for in the cities around here, in the Metroplex, is to find water for landscaping, because now we're restricted to watering our lawns twice a week. And so people are looking for water that they can drill to that's, you know, shallow water. And by shallow, it would be anything less than 65 feet, I think. And
is it so there?
That comes up frequently.
And can you find it?
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to find. But, you know, it's really not legal to do that. So I tell them, you know, when a client calls, I say, look, you know, I'm not bound by law to tell you that the city owns the aquifer, but I think I should to cover me and you. and so the usual, well, always the response has been, oh, that's okay. We're just going to fill up our pool with it, or we're just going to landscape. But last year I did a job that was, they landscaped to the tune of evaporating 1,800 gallons a day.
Wow.
So they definitely wanted it well, so they didn't have to pay the city for all. Well, they couldn't use that much water.
Wow.
So, a lot of Dallas is in the process of changing from a middle-class city to McMansions everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's like the middle class is being slowly pushed out. And
not even that slowly, eh?
Pardon me?
Not even that slowly.
No, not that. Oh, gosh, no, not that slowly at all.
Well, tell me this. You know, this is something that fascinates me is when you're dowsing, can you really help people find their own innate potential through dowsing?
Of course. If, you know, dowsing and hypnosis are so, they're such close cousins that when someone comes for hypnosis, either they really believe in the mind-body connection, or they've been coerced into coming. And so if they're believers, it's the same as a believer for hypnosis, I mean, for dowsing. I actually teach my open-minded clients to douse using one L-rod, which is my favorite way.
An L-rod is just a straight piece of wire with the right angle?
Like, right. Mm-hmm. And usually with a cuff on it so that you're not really touching it.
Oh, okay.
Even a soda straw will do. I just don't want to feel the rod because I don't want to think that any little or just the smallest nerve response could change the way it's going to go. So I teach them to douse, and it's especially especially useful in past life regressions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'll make a note. Sometimes when I do a past life regression, I'll have somebody else in the room who acts as a scribe for me who will write down the names and the places and the events that the person in hypnosis calls out. And then we can go back and douse to see, is this person anyone I know in this present lifetime? Or is this person somebody, you know, that was very important to me then? And it's fascinating when you douse all those characters from past lives. So
can the dowsing itself open the person to be able to perceive that?
Say that again. I'm not sure I understood your question.
Well, it seems to me that the dowsing itself is vibrationally inciting, meaning it awakens people's sensitivity to their own vibration. So I just wondered if it awakened their, like, third eye or their...
It absolutely awakens their, well, their gut is what I call it, more than the third eye, because your gut reaction has a greater vibration than your third eye, according to some recent studies that I've been reading. And so I just say, okay, we're going to... I want you to hold the rod and tell it which way to go for yes or no. And then feeling your body and especially concentrate on your gut, ask the question and let's see what your body tells us, what your intuition, your third eye, your higher consciousness, whatever they want to call it. It's like talking to their God. You know, I'm not going to tell them to talk to my God because it might be have a totally different name, although it's the same source. So hypnosis and dowsing together is just amazing. It's awesome. It's like the best thing, and I want to teach it. I want to teach it everywhere, and it's except for the conferences, it's not that easy to get an audience who will be firm believers.
But when you do hypnosis and teach hypnosis, you're actually teaching people, this is what I understand, you're teaching people to douse along with it, hey?
I teach some of them. I don't teach the clients who come to me for medical issues or who come for medical referrals, because I don't want to mess up one of my best client bases, because most of the medical referrals come from real mainline physicians. And I think if they went back and said, hey, you know what, she took this little stick and put it in my hand, and that might be the end of a good money source for my bill paying.
So when you take people into hypnosis and you use your own dowsing skills, obviously, can you really help them with their health? Have you had some pretty good successes?
You know, I don't combine health with the hypnosis practice.
Oh, okay.
But I do Reiki, and I do a lot of other, I do hands-on work, and I do a lot of things that is health, but I don't use it with the hypnosis so that anyone is aware that it, well, now that I said that, I guess anyone who listens to this will be aware. But it's, I don't put myself into a healing modality.
Oh, okay.
Unless I'm asked. And if you get asked, then you know that that person is open.
So the people that the medical profession are sending you aren't necessarily coming for just hypnosis. They're coming for healing.
No, right? They're coming for hypnosis, but it's things for, like, the doctor can't find a med that'll make them sleep better or less stressed or something like that.
Right.
And the hypnosis can narrow that down for them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I can see how that would be really great.
It is really great.
Now, talk about, if you don't mind, the shift. I'm sure you know that there's a thing called the shift going on, right?
I think we're having a kind of not the greatest connection. And so spell that word for me.
Shift. You know, this is supposed to be the Mayan, the time of the Mayan calendar and the big shift going on.
Yeah, but what was the word you used?
Shift.
Spell it.
S-H-I-F-T. IFT.
Oh, the shift.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I have Texas ears after living here all this time.
Let me say the shift.
Well, my dowsing tells me the shift is simply that. It's not the end of time. It's not the end of life as we know it physically. It's the end of life as we know it on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not there and you're not connected and you don't make that shift, then your life is not going to be, how can I say this without sounding smug or something? If you're not able to make the shift, then you're going to be one of the confused.
Mm-hmm. That. Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. So then I'm thinking of how your work, for example, my preference would be your hypnotherapy mixed with your dowsing and so on, and finding people's more potential. They can release. You can help people release what? A lot of resistances? What would you say to help us through the shift?
Yes, it can help them. I can definitely help them release their resistance to the change. But I think more importantly, I can help them release their fear.
Uh-huh.
Fear of what's supposedly happening is so overwhelming to a lot of people. And I don't know what it's like in Washington, but in Dallas, you know, we're in one of those cities that likes to call itself the Bible Belt.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And all across the South, I guess, there are plenty of places like that. And you have to first get past the fundamentalist belief that it's time.
Mm-hmm.
The time has come for the end. I don't think anybody, the Mayans or any other human culture, can tell us that it's time.
Mm-hmm.
That has to come as a surprise as far as I'm concerned.
Thank heaven. Well, I kind of think, you know, I feel like this is an opportunity because of shifting, and this I think really relates to your dowsing. It's an opportunity for us to be higher frequency being and to have to live out of that old paradigm and into a new of win-win. That's how I'm looking at it, self-love and loving others. And
I sure hope so. And you know, I think more people are coming, shall we say, out of the woodwork who are trying to promote this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went on Facebook 2 years ago, and I really would not promote Facebook in any way because I think I don't even want to talk about it. But I do notice that more and more people that I know personally, whom I'm surprised by this behavior, are putting statements from higher people, higher thinkers, religious people, Mother Teresa, all those, about loving people, about being better, about compassion.
I agree. I think that's really spreading.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Every day, if I flip on the Facebook and just go to the news feed, it's one after the other. And it's not the same person. You know, some people buy those packages for, you know, they send out 15 of those emails a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I put them on hide. I'm talking about the ones who, well, you know, you can't spend your whole day, right?
I know. That's my complaint, too. Like, good grief. I can only do about 100 of these, and then I'm done.
Yeah. And I don't do that many. I'm good for about 16. I'm out of there.
But it's so true that the belief, you know, we all know this in metaphysics anyway, that your beliefs can really constrict your reality. And I think back on your great-grandpa and the witching and thinking women shouldn't be doing it and all that. There's a real container in that, isn't there? Like we had to emerge from that, right?
So. And it isn't that far long ago. When I first started going to Danville, Vermont for the dowsing conferences in the late 80s, the first speaker I heard was a man who said, you can't douse if you're wearing leather shoes. You can't douse if there's a thunderstorm coming in. You can't douse if there's a woman within 50 feet of where you're dousing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm standing there thinking, well, why is he teaching all these women to douse?
So he was ironically actually teaching women while saying those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but those old, I mean, some people believe you can't douse if you're wearing red. So make up your own superstitions as you go along. Don't buy going into somebody else's.
Well, Betty, I'm pretty cheeky, and I douse with a tea bag sometimes. I pendle with a tea bag, right? Somebody
you
said
could douse with anything.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I used to douse with my pulse until my atrial fib got so busy jumping around in different directions that I could no longer read what it was saying to me. And it's not the rhythm of the pulse that I was looking for. It was the, like, when you take a lie detector test, they're not looking for the rhythm of your pulse. They're looking for the pressure of how much blood goes through or oxygen or whatever that makes it either go very gently or very powerful. And so, and I used to teach a class in dousing the pulse used based on that. And you just get a...
your own pulse in your body, right?
Yeah, your pulse in your body, and it'll respond, like, just very quickly. I tell you, you get the pulse of the person you're with or your own pulse, and you ask that person out loud questions that they know the answer to, and when they give the answer, you're holding their pulse and you're checking to see did it get smaller or stronger so that you can define what's a yes or a no. And once you're sure you've got a handle on their yes and no, then you can douse other people's pulse, you can douse your own pulse, and it's more successful than someone using a tool.
Well, and it's like kinesiology then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
This is very exciting. I just really got that sense of how it all comes together in us, that we're these amazing vibrational beings, aren't we?
Just energy in this little sack. We're a sack of energy. Well, you know, seriously, if you think about a human body, it's just prepackaged stuff. And we all have generally the same configuration. But what a genius that made these sacks that they fill up with organs and blood and nerves and bones. And if you split it open, you're gone.
Wow, isn't that interesting? And I realize, too, as we're saying that and you're giving that beautiful delineation of our energy, it is the beliefs that kind of constrict or create the patterning, isn't
it?
Yeah. How interesting. And you can work with that. You can help people break out. What about children? Do you teach children?
Oh, man, they're the best.
Are they?
They're absolutely the best. You know, for years I would go to these dowsing conferences and there would never be a child there. And one day I was at the Santa Cruz conference, just looking around at the people in the cafeteria one day and thought, you know, everybody in here is over 40. There are a few people under, but who's going to carry the torch? And so fortunately, they gave me an opportunity to be the keynote speaker once, and that was what I based the talk on, was who's going to do this? You're going to have to beg, borrow, or steal a kid and bring it next year. And so... I used to have conferences here. I haven't had one for 4 years, but we always gave the entire school free to anyone under 21.
Wow.
And then Karen Ashley at the West Coast Conference started a school just for kids.
Wow.
And she does marvelous things with them. And one of my daughters helps her with the kids. So she'll take them to the beach and hide things and then they already know how to use their tools, and so they find things that are hidden on the beach, and it's marvelous.
Oh, that is so wonderful, and unfortunately, we have to draw to a close, but I'd love to spend much longer with you at some other point.
Okay.
All right.
I'm available.
And now, Betty, do you have any books or anything? Would you like to tell people how to get hold of you?
No, I haven't written anything on dowsing, well, except for... you know, what is dowsing? How does it work? Just articles that I have a website under construction. It just says Betty Epstein Dowser.
Mm-hmm. And Betty is spelled Bette, right?
Right, like Betty Davis.
Mm. Nice.
And there'll be a lot of things on there before long. It's coming up. It's coming on pretty fast.
Great.
But I'm a storyteller. I write fiction.
Great.
Fiction based on stories. Fiction based on other people's stories.
Is it under your name?
Yeah. It's on Amazon. I have a novel called The Jew's Harp.
Okay. And it's fiction.
And it's fiction. And it's the bluegrass instrument, the Jew's Harp, You know that little thing you put in your mouth?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay, there's a Jew's harp that's passed through different people in the story, and that's why I called it that. And then I have a collection of other people's love stories retold.
Oh, nice.
And it's called Husbands, Lovers, and Other Sorrows.
Now, did you douse any of the information that you used for these books? Did you douse any of that kind of material?
I doused which stories to put in the book.
Okay.
I also have a collection, it's not on there yet, of poems that I started collecting in 92 from people from the age of 80, from 8 to 88, which, and many of them have crossed through the veil, but I doused to see what would be good. It's they all start with, "And When I Am Old." And it's...
And When I Am Old?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And they're really nice. But I have to work on that to get it. It needs to be formatted and put on. But yes, I have and have a book on grief that I wrote a few years ago. It's not on Amazon because they only do electronic and they publish on demand, so they don't. They're not interested in your finished book.
Oh, I see. Okay. But if people check either Amazon for Betty Epstein or eventually BettyEpsteinDowser.com, is that it?
Yeah, you can look at I don't know if the books are on there yet or not. She's still working on it, but there's some dowsing articles. And I wondered, I have a diary of my visit to Ukraine when I taught dowsing. I wonder if that would be of interest to anyone.
I think it might be very interesting. Those little vignettes. But that's the good thing about a website. It's your shop, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll have to say goodbye for now, but I so enjoyed meeting you, and I wish we were going to meet you at the Santa
Cruz. Are you going to be there?
No, I can't make it this time. I was going to come. Wow. West Coast Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz, July 6th to the 10th, and meet Betty there.
And I'm doing a workshop on this on Friday on using self-hypnosis to improve your dowsing skills.
Wonderful. Well,
Karen Ashley said you were delightful, and she was right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling me.
All right. Good night. Bye. Thanks, Betty. And now meet Dick Tippett. Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and Paradigm Shifters are making a difference in the collective at this great time of the shift. Our Paradigm Shifters over the last couple of weeks have been featuring dowsing, which is an art of being in rapport with the universe, I think. But we have a dowser with us who uses it for business as well as other things. So let's meet Dick Tippett and find out what dowsing is and how it works. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I got into dowsing in 2004. There was a fellow named Harold, I can never think of his name.
McCoy, probably, yes.
An excellent remote healer from Arkansas. And he was being interviewed on a show much like yours. And he was talking about energy healing. And he was going to teach a seminar here in Santa Cruz. And I thought to myself, I really want to go see this seminar. Hmm. And I cleared my calendar and went and did the seminar on remote healing and energetic healing. And in the course of the seminar, he began to talk about dowsing. Hmm. And he really, really intrigued me. And I came home after the seminar and I walked in the house and walked up to my wife and said, "Darling, we're going to go back to Arkansas and spend Labor Day in a campground and learn about dowsing."
That's
and my
fun.
Wife, to whom, you know, the whose idea of roughing it was the Denver Hilton, basically looked me right in the eye and said, "Okay."
Oh, wow.
And we did.
Huh.
We flew back to Arkansas and we spent Labor Day weekend in the rain, living in cabins, and spent 5 days doing seminars back there with master dowsers.
Wow. How long ago was that?
This was 2004.
Okay.
8 years ago.
Hmm.
And one of them was a fellow named Raymond Grace, who I basically said, "Will you mentor me?" And his answer was yes.
Hmm.
And, of course, another one was Harold McCoy. And another was a brilliant woman who basically taught basic health and basic energy work for your own health and for your own body. And it was a wonderful weekend.
Hmm.
And one of the definitions that was put out there for dowsing was Raymond Grace's. And his attitude towards dowsing is there's nothing magical. It uses an instrument like a bobber or a pendulum or L-rods to tell us what we already know but don't believe we know. It's simply a way to focus and energize the mind. The Canadians define dowsing as the detection and transformation of energy with simple tools and the power of the heart and thought. It's always been known as a way to find water and minerals, but today modern dowsers also use our skills to detect and transform and balance physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energies. And that's what I use it for a lot.
So you can actually use it to change a blocked energy flow, or how does that work?
Yes, you can. I do construction management.
Okay.
And if you've ever been involved in construction, in a construction project, you know that there are times when things can get contentious. And that usually requires a meeting and an air clearing, and I have found that the fastest and easiest way to handle these types of meetings or these types of problems is to use my pendulum to neutralize and scramble the adversarial energy between the people involved, you know, that created the conflict, and then after that's done, sit down and talk with people and again use the pendulum to transform that energy to the highest and most appropriate and most beneficial levels so that whatever the problems were, the challenges were, are quickly solved.
So what you're saying is if you do the pendling in the middle of an adversarial kind of a clutch or mixture, then the pendling itself eases that? Or do you
the
have to work with each individual?
Right, the pendulum, the work, it's all intention. It's all done by intention, and it's all done by moving energy. When you stop and think that, you know, we appear to be solid people, and you know, flesh and blood is solid, but when you delve into it, you realize that we are all composed of atoms, and atoms are constantly in motion. And so that energy, that motion is the energy that dowsing addresses or makes use of. Because the water dowsing is probably where dowsing began. And when you douse for water, what you are looking for is the electrons, or what your body senses is the electrons that are scraped off of the water molecules as they travel through the rock or through the ground. And that sets up a very simple but very small energy field. And your body is able to detect that. And the willow stick or the Y rods or the L rods that we use to locate water basically respond to subtle reflexes in our body, which we have asked to direct. We've asked our body to respond through the dowsing instrument to our body sensing that small, minute electrical field generated by the water flowing through the ground and releasing those electrons.
So what you're saying is dowsing actually brings your sensitivity, heightens your sensitivity then, eh?
Yes. Dowsers' brain waves, when they are dowsing, are active in all four brain levels, alpha, beta, theta, and delta. And it's that level of concentration that allows dowsers to and anyone can do this. That's the beauty part.
Does it take a lot of practice, or does it take breaking in, or
it takes breaking in. And breaking in and practice. I mean, the practice of dowsing helps center you as well, because you've got to ask permission of the universe before you douse.
Okay.
You know, the first three questions a dowser asks are, you know, can I douse for this? May I douse for this? And should I douse for this? And that, you know, the answer is can I? You know, do I have the physical and mental and emotional ability to douse right now regarding whatever it is I'm asking about? You know, and may I? You know, universe, do I have your permission to ask these questions, and will you answer them? And then should I? Is should I know, you know, universe, should I know, should I gain the information that I am asking you for at this time? And you need to get a yes to all three of those questions. And if you get a yes to all three of those questions, then go ahead and ask what it is or doubts, you know, ask what it is or doubts about whatever it is that you're seeking the information on. And at that point, the universe will give you the information. I mean, it's basically, people talk about natural knowing, and we all, it's the theory that we all know everything all the time, and dowsing allows you to tap into that and gives you a direct physical readout that you know, that your eyes and your eyes and your hands and your mind can register as a positive answer one way or the other.
So it seems to me it's a bit complicated. If you use dowsing in a business meeting and so on, getting all that permission for each situation could take quite a while, couldn't it? Especially if you're having a skirmish.
No, it's a matter of seconds. And you do this before you get into the meeting.
Okay.
You know, step one, an hour or half an hour or 2 hours before the meeting, do your dowsing. You know, clear the room, clear the space. And that's a wonderful use of it. Another one that I use all the time, again, because I'm in construction, is we use dowsing to find buried lines and buried pipes on job sites. And I thought this was kind of unique. We do it with L-rods. I thought this was kind of unique to guys that were dowsers. And I was on a job site on Treasure Island one day working with a guy, a bunch of guys breaking out concrete. And we got to talking about the fact that we need to repair fences out there, and that in order to drive a fence post into the ground, we need to know where all the oil and water and gas and sewage lines are, and there are no maps of them. And the guy I'm talking to, who's basically a common laborer, says, why don't we just grab a couple pieces of welding rod and bend one end over and go find them?
Wow. Hey, buddy, you're my brother.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of guys don't call it dowsing. They call it, they call them finders.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
And they don't
witchers,
be,
huh?
Yeah, they don't consider it to be dowsing at all. They call them pipe finders. I was on a plane back to a conference in dowsing, and I'm sitting in the plane talking to the guy next to me who's a PG&E consultant. Pacific Gas and Electric is our electric company here in California. And they've had some serious problems with gas lines blowing up, because the material they were made from wasn't apparently built to last for 30 years, but they didn't know that at the time that they installed it. But anyway, he was coming back from a project, and we got to talk about dowsing, and he says, I know about that. He says, we use pipe finders when we're out in the desert and the soil isn't homogeneous enough for us to locate our pipes with our electronic equipment. And this guy's a licensed professional engineer.
Wow.
And he does it, he did it all the time.
Huh.
And on another trip, I'm in a limo going to a hotel, and I got to talking to the limo driver about it. And he says, I know about dowsing. He says, my granddad took me out in the backyard one day and stuck a pair of rods in my hand and said, bet you can't find all the sprinkler lines back here. And I said, I bet I can. So he did. He was about 14 years old when he did it.
Oh, that's great. Well, tell
so
me
everybody
about it.
Everybody has the ability to do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing. It simply needs to be brought out and trained, as it were.
Even little kids, right?
We at the West Coast Dowsers Conference, which is coming up this weekend here in Santa Cruz at College 8, we do a children's program. And it's kids from 6 years old to about 14 years old, and we take them out and we teach them how to find water. And we hide coins under carpets, and we teach them how to go find the coins. And we take them out of the woods and teach them about nature spirits and teach them about labyrinths. And it's a fabulous conference. It's been going on 30 years. And for those of you who want to find out about it, it's www.dowserswestcoast.org, and that's Dowsers plural. And on that site is all our speakers, all the topics, when the conference is, maps to the site, and a registration form. And we'd love to have more attendees. And bring your kids.
And what I really remember about the Dowsers Conference, and I really think this is an example of what happens with dowsers, is because they're attuned to themselves, it's a very kind of a heartfelt, non-competitive awakening kind of place, isn't it?
It really is. We're all this. You know, one of the amazing things is you can't fool a dowser, because a dowser knows the truth. A dowser, you know, if he's uncertain about what it is you're saying, he'll pull out his pendulum and check your answer. So there's no false bravado. There's just people who like being with other people, people who like learning. People, it's a spiritual environment. It's a very open and friendly environment, and everybody's. You know, some of the people come to teach and make money, and it's difficult to do that because a lot of us, particularly the older ones among us, will teach the same material for free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very open, sharing, you know, here's how I solve this problem, how do you solve it type situation.
So even though it's an ancient art, it's actually evolutionary. But before we get too short on time, I would like to ask you about this. Say you're coming into a big meeting where there's going to be a lot of controversy, and you know that. You can use dowsing for that. Didn't you tell me that on the phone earlier?
Absolutely. One of the things, it's a wonderful thing. I work with a pendulum because you can shift energy very easily with a pendulum.
Okay.
And again, I'll ask the question, do I have permission to clean up the energy in this room and between the people before we start the meeting?
Okay.
You know, and if I get a yes answer, proceed to, may I have permission to shift the energy in this room and clear up any conflicts between people? And if I get a yes answer to that, it's go, should I clear up the space in this room and clean up any controversy between the people? And if I get a yes answer to all three of those, then I will ask the universe, please neutralize and scramble all non-beneficial energy between the people in this room so that we can achieve our goals today. And the pendulum will start to work in a counterclockwise direction. And I will hold that thought and repeat that thought until the pendulum stops going in a counterclockwise direction and just moves in a straight out and back motion, you know, towards my body and away from my body.
So the counterclockwise is to clean it up? Is a spiral that
counterclockwise comes in? Counterclockwise cleans things up, okay. Neutralizes and scrambles or decreases.
Hmm.
Clockwise strengthens.
Hmm.
And creates, not creates, but it gathers positive energy.
Hmm. So have you ever used it with results in kind of an election environment? I don't mean just the government of the country, but I mean in some smaller election kind of competitive environment.
I have not. Raymond Grace has, and his comment is very simple. He says, if you do nothing, nothing will happen. If you do something, something may happen. And if you are able and capable of influencing elections, keep it to yourself.
So can you tell us some stories about easing adversity or making it more comfortable for people to speak their piece? Or how would you say it works?
I can. I do a lot of construction management for homeowners associations.
Oh, that's kind of feisty little groups usually.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And I just automatically clear the space before the meeting so that instead of meetings running 3 hours, starting at 7 o'clock at night till everybody's tired and angry and frustrated, we're usually out of there in an hour.
Oh, wow, really?
And the goal is simple, to get, you know, my goal is to get people to focus on the agenda of the meeting and not, you know, let their minds wander off into petty rivalries or other subjects, and to handle things with, oh, at the risk of sounding horribly New Agey, but to handle things with sensitivity and love and caring and for the highest and best interest of the group as a whole.
Hmm.
And that is what energy shifting is all about. You know, it must be done for the highest and best interest of the group as a whole. You can't do negative things.
Hmm.
The spirit world simply won't allow it.
Did you ever stride into a situation that was really tricky and have some, you know, challenge on that?
Challenge on what?
Well, maybe being able to collect. There's a tricky situation. People aren't getting along, and you have to collect your wits enough to be really attuned so you can make a difference, that kind of thing.
Yes, I have.
Hmm.
And after a while, working with the tools, you know, the pendulums and the L rods and the bobbers, you begin to learn how to do it with what they call deviceless dowsing.
Oh, great!
And to be able to do it very quickly, just with a shift, with a mental shift.
So, how do you do that? Can you give us a tool that we can use? Sometimes I find just going up and talking to their higher selves works pretty well. But
that is exactly what you do.
Hmm.
That is exactly what you do. Is go into a meditative state. You know, where you can get your brain waves down to an alpha state, and then proceed working from that point of view where you want to instill. You know, if you can get to a meditative the state of mind, your mind is where you meditate.
Okay.
Where you're calm internally, and your mind is clear of all other obstructions, you can use that space and that calmness of energy to absorb all the non-beneficial energy in the people around you, and then just send it harmless and formless to the universe. And once it's gone, and the space is empty of the non-beneficial energy, then you can work in the meeting to create positive things.
Hmm. Wonderful,
and
wonderful.
Again, this is all with spirit's permission.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to say I do it myself, but I don't. Spirit's who does it.
Well, you also mentioned cleaning up.
Vehicle.
Well, that's good to remind us, isn't it? You also mentioned clearing out the space before the people all arrive. That technique can be used anywhere, can it? Like in a home or in a bus?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of dowsers also do feng shui. Or some, not some, but a lot of feng shui people are also dowsers.
Hmm.
And you can use it for clearing homes of noxious energy because, you know, sometimes homes are built over geopathic stress zones. Sometimes they're built over veins of water. And occasionally you find them built over graveyards.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to clear out the non-beneficial energies that the geopathic zones or the water flow through the ground or the old burials create. A classic example of that is a project I was working on for the Corps of Engineers out at an Army base in Livermore. We were building a new building. And one of the men on the general contractor's crew said, this job has never gone right from the start. He says, I've got to find where the Indian burial ground is on this site because nothing has gone right. And he says, this had to be an old Indian burial ground, you know, because he's had experience of building an old Indian burial grounds and things going bad in projects. So I thought about that, and I got my pendulum out, and I said, should I douse about whether or not this is an old Indian burial site or what's causing all these upsets? And I got my yes answers. So I asked, is this an old Indian burial ground? And I said, no. And I said, were people killed here? And they said, yes. And I said, was it a battle between white men and Indians? And they said, no. Was it a battle between Indian tribes? Yes. How long ago did it happen? About 1710. Is anyone buried here? No. But to make a long story short, the energy from that battle 300 years ago was still on that site and caused absolute chaos in the building of this project. And then I asked for permission, you know, to clear the energy, and the universe said, yes, absolutely. So we cleared, you know, the universe cleared the energy, and for the remainder of that project, which went on for about another 10 weeks, there were no conflicts. Everything
went
smoothly.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, what about in health? I know we're just about over here, but what about health? You mentioned that some people use it for health. Is that clearing blocked energy? Is that what that's about? And
it's
do you have
about
any stories
clearing
about
blocked
that?
Energy. Most disease is caused by blocked energy, basically, or by an excess of energy. And we use dowsing, well, exactly, for the chakras, for example. You know, there's seven chakras. And you can lay a person down on a typical massage table and work with your pendulum over all seven chakras, and your pendulum will tell you whether or not that chakra is blocked or actually running in a reverse direction. And then you can get the chakras all moving in the correct direction again. And I've done that many, many times. You know, you lay the person down and you get the pendulum working. You know, you ask, you know, is this chakra, you know, spinning in the right direction? And the pendulum will either move forward and back from you, which is a yes answer, or it'll move across your body, which is a no answer. And then you can take the chakra that isn't, you know, rotating in the correct direction and get it spinning in the correct direction again.
So it's actually working with the etheric is what you're doing. Do you ever work with people who are physically, like chakras are one thing, but do you ever work with people who have a physical difficulty, broken something or arthritis or something, and you come in from that level?
I have never tried that for arthritis or for broken bones. There are meditative techniques that Harold McCoy and the Ozark Research Institute and the people at this dowsing conference this weekend will teach. There's several people there that know how to clear those kind of energy problems and assist you. And again, it's at College 8 at UC Santa Cruz this weekend. And if you go to www.dowserswestcoast.org, all the information is there about who's speaking on these topics and when they're speaking and how to get to the conference site and registration forms. And you can contact us through the website. But there are going to be several speakers this weekend on just exactly that topic.
Wow, that's exciting. I want to jump around, and just before we end, when you're dowsing, for example, for finding something, can you do it with just a map rather than having to go there? Is it always better to go there?
Yes, you can. In fact, a lot of water well dowsers will start by dowsing on a map. You know, they'll take a map of the property and they'll get out a pendulum and a ruler. And they'll slide that ruler across the map of the property until the pendulum gives them a yes answer, which means that somewhere along that line is where you will find water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll turn that ruler 90 degrees and repeat the process until the pendulum again says, yes, somewhere along this line you'll find water. And where those two lines cross is where they will begin their dowsing on site.
Aha.
And I mean, if you're, let's say you've got a 200-acre site that you're trying to find a well on, or you're trying to find a well for a city.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they begin the work in the field.
That's great. So how about contracts, jumping to business, back to business before we say goodbye? What about contracts? Do you douse to make sure a contract with someone is good? You know, a business agreement of some sort? Do you ever douse those to make sure that everybody's in agreement?
I don't so much douse the business contract as I douse what my working relationship is going to be with that contractor over the life of the project.
Okay.
You know, am I going to have problems with them? Where are the problems going to be if they are going to occur? Are there going to be budget overruns? How much are the budget overruns likely to be? Those kinds of things.
So you can actually heal some power issues, you know,
yes,
between people.
Universe. Mm-hmm. Yes, if the universe gives you permission, the universe will heal all kinds of issues like that. Again, it's not me doing it; it's the universe.
Yeah.
You know, the universal energy, the God force or spirit, however you want to describe it.
And now that your wife is out of the Denver Hilton, is she dowsing with you?
She did. Yes.
That's great.
She did.
Yes.
Karen, you know, my wife is Karen Ashley, so.
Oh, is she? Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, she's good at this sort of thing, right?
She really is, yeah. Well, she's the chair of this conference, by the way.
And she was our first guest on this series of Dowsers. So we have to say goodnight and thank you so much. And it sounds exciting and inviting. I wish we were coming down for it.
It is absolutely wonderful. And anyone who can get down here for this conference at College 8 at UC Santa Cruz, please come. And the website is www.dowserswestcoast.org.
Well, I hope the people flood down there, but you've given me some ideas. So we're going to be dowsing so we get all the results through our own pendulum. All
That's
right?
Great. Have fun with it.
Thanks very much for your time, Richard.
You're welcome.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
So that was Betty Epstein and Dick Tippett of the Santa Cruz Dowsers Conference coming up this weekend, July the 6th to the 10th. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for tuning in, for joining us. And if you'd like to give us any feedback on these shows, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Or if you'd like a session with me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Remember, no H in Entwistle. Thank you for listening and many, many blessings.